como bailará el loco lo amante por llorar y fauma mi hukm el haq y ola mi luma subhanaka Allahumma la subhani.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Gracious, the Ever Merciful, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise is due to Allah, the Lord of all created beings, the sustainer and provider for all things in existence. Wassalatu wassalamu ala khayri khalqillahi ajma'in. And may Allah raise the rank of and grant peace to the very best of His entire creation, Nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd, as for what follows, then on this afternoon of the 25th day of Jumada al-Ula, in the year 1437, we have come together with our beloved brothers and sisters through the Tarbiyah Initiative in South Florida, along with our brothers in Masjid Quba in Orlando, the Islamic Center of Palm Beach, and other centers, gatherings, and masjids in Florida and elsewhere. May Allah Ta'ala bless them all, increase them in goodness. We have all come together at this time to continue our study of the great Nuniya poem, Al-Kafiyah, Al-Shafiyah, of the great scholar Al-Allama Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, rahimahullahu ta'ala, may Allah the Most High have mercy upon him. And in our previous lessons, the first three lessons in this series about al-hijrah, making hijrah, emigration, migrating away from opinions, desires, and philosophical thoughts, making hijrah from that to the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, meaning, firstly and foremostly, the correct creed, the correct aqidah, the correct belief system held by the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam and held by his beloved, honored and revered companions radiyallahu anhum. In our previous lessons, the first three lessons, we have studied the first 33 lines of poetry as they are numbered in our PDF that we are studying from. So to begin this session, we need to rewind just a little bit, one or two lines, and refresh our memory with what we have just ended with in our previous session. As you may recall, we talked about how decisions or rulings are to be returned back to the book and the sunnah, and they are the sources of legislation. And opinions, desires, conjecture, philosophy, and rhetoric, all of that is to be shunned and not taken as any source of religion. And in confrontation with the people of Ta'til, like the Mu'tazila, the Jahmiya, the people who deny Allah's attributes, or the Mu'awila, those who deny them by explaining them away as other than their meanings that they have been revealed to hold, and that the companions and early Salaf understood them to hold. These verses, as explained by Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthaymeen, the last verses we've studied, apply directly to Ahlu al-Ta'til, those who wish to negate, deny, and reject attributes, all of them or some of them, the attributes of our Creator. And those attributes are known only through the revelation, what they call sifat al-khabariyya, the attributes that you would not be able to know by your rationale. And just to be clear, there are some attributes of Allah that we can know by using our intellect, by using our seeing and hearing, and our study of the creation around us. Let us establish that before we begin today. We can look at the creation, the magnificent, detailed, complex, wisdom-based creation that has clear purpose, clear design, clear systematic design, interacting system from system, on layers of interaction, the ecosystems and all of that, down to microbiology, all the way out to astronomy and the systems out in space and so on. We look at all of that and we see magnificence. We see azama. We see ilm. We see hikmah. We see knowledge. We see greatness. We see wisdom in the one who created all of that. So we say, without any guidance of revelation, mankind can say from his study of the environment around him, even his study of the human body himself, he can derive from all of that, that the creator of all of this is all-powerful, is all-knowing, is all-wise, unlimited in capabilities, and other deductions can be made. And these are rational deductions, intellectual deductions, but they are sound and they are unchallengeable. Versus the other idea, which are attributes which we would not be able to derive by our examination of the creation, by our contemplation about what is around us. The likes of Allah's face, the likes of Allah's descent to the lowest heaven in the last third of every night, Sifat Khabariyya, the attributes that could only be known through texts of revelation. There's no way for us to derive that. There's no way for us to look at the mountains and the skies and say, all of this points me to know that Allah descends to the lowest heaven in the last third of every night. That is an illogical conclusion, a baseless conclusion. And the only way we know about that matter and other matters like it is from the reports that have come in the book and the sunnah. Having said that now, we do have a place for human rationale, for intellect, contemplation, and thought. It is not that we think about the creator and contemplate the creator, but rather we contemplate about the creation in order to arrive at sound, logical, and scientifically unchallengeable conclusions about the greatness, wisdom, knowledge, and capabilities of our majestic creator, Azza wa Jal. That's the place of our intellect. However, we are not to use our intellect to decide which of the reports in the Quran and the Sunnah are accurate. Which of those reports are in line with what I can understand, and therefore I accept it. And any report about Allah that is not in line with what I believe or what I want to believe, and therefore anything that opposes those matters, I reject them. We say this is not the place of human intellect. And now this confrontation that exists between the people of the Sunnah, the Muslims upon their deen, as-Salafiyun, those who follow the way of the Salaf in belief and in methodology, between them and Ahlul Bid'ah, there is a war, a raging, consistent, ongoing war that has been going on since after the death of our Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the very first of them, like the Khawarij, the Murji'ah, the Qadariya, the Shia, the very first of them began to appear in the time of the companions. They waged war on them. They fought in jihad against them physically on the battlefield, and with the jihad of the pen, with refutations, warnings, advice to the Muslims, and so on. This war goes on until the last day, and we're going to see in our study of the poetry today some benefits about the very existence of this battle, this constant ongoing confrontation that any true Muslim is required to side with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in and his companions. We'll remind ourselves that we ended with, I believe, the 31st verse. وَزَعَمْتُمُ أَن لَيْسَ يَحْكُمُ بَيْنَنَا إِلَّا الْعُقُولُ وَمَنْطِقُ الْيُونَانِ. And you have assumed, meaning you people of Ta'atil, you innovators, you have assumed that there is no judge between us. There is nothing that we can return to for absolute judgment. إِلَّا الْعُقُولُ, except for human intellect, وَمَنْطِقُ الْيُونَانِ, and Greek philosophical rhetoric. We read that verse, and we read its explanation by the virtuous scholar Sheikh Saleh bin Fawzan, Al-Fawzan. That leads us into the 32nd verse, which we'll read at this time, and that is the statement of Ibn al-Qayyim, فَهُنَا بِحُكْمِ الْحَقِّ أَوْلَى مِنْهُمَا سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ ذَسُبْحَانِ. So here the ruling of Allah al-Haqq, the truth, is awla minhuma, is more befitting than those two things, is more rightfully followed than those two things. What are those two things? Al-uqulu wa mantiq al-yunani, human intellect and Greek philosophy. The decision, the verdict of al-Haqq, the decision of Allah, which is found in the book and the sunnah, has more right to be followed than those two things. Has more right to be a judge in the dispute, the difference that lies between us and you, than those two things. Subhanak, glorified be you, Allahumma, O Allah. Subhanaka, of course, a tasbih, saying subhanallah, means unazzihu allaha, I exonerate Allah. I declare him free of imperfections and deficiencies. Allahumma O Allah, the Subhani, the possessor of exaltation in right. Our Shaykh Saleh Ibn Fawzan al-Fawzan, he says at this point, هَذَا تَنْزِيهٌ لِلَّهِ, this is an exoneration of Allah, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, the glorified and most high, لِأَنَّهُ يَلْزَمُ مِنْهُ النَّقْصُ فِي حَقِّ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. Because the assumption that what will judge between us should be human intellect and Greek philosophy requires that there must be a deficiency as it relates to the truth of Allah, the Most High. إِذَا قِيلْ, if it's said, إِنَّ كَلَامَهُ لَا يُفِيدُ إِلَّا الظَّنِّ, that his speech does not give us as a benefit other than conjecture. Meaning, what they say, the Mu'tazila, that the texts of the Qur'an, even the texts of the Qur'an, in the angle of proof found therein, there is only conjecture. There is nothing decisive and binding upon people to follow. And what is binding and decisive to them? It is what is found in human rationale and philosophy, subhanallah. So that's, as you can see right away, naturally one says, in response to this understanding or this misunderstanding, that Allah's speech is not decisive or binding in nature because of its indecisive angles of proof, and that the only thing that's decisive is Greek philosophy and human intellect, that is a clear claim that Allah Ta'ala is deficient. His speech was deficient. The message of his messenger was deficient. So we exonerate him above such a false claim and a foul assumption, saying Subhanallah. وَأَنَّ قَوَاعِدَ الْمَنْطِقِ هِيَ الْمَعْصُومَ. And they would think that principles of rhetoric, they are the things that are protected from error and misguidance. فَهَذَا تَنَقُّسٌ لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى. This is a claim of deficiency, an imperfection addressed at Allah the Most High. وَلِهَذَا سَبَّحَ اللَّهَ مِنْ هَذَا تَنَقُّسٌ. And this is why the author of the poem exonerated Allah, declared Allah to be free of this kind of imperfection. Then the great scholar Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he says, حَتَّى إِذًا كَشَفَ الْغِطَاءُ وَحُصِّلَتْ أَعْمَالُ هَذَا الْخَلْقِ فِي الْمِيزَانِ. This differing shall go on until the covering is removed, the غِطَاء is removed. وَحُصِّلَتْ أَعْمَالُ هَذَا الْخَلْقِ, and the actions of this entire creation will be brought فِي الْمِيزَانِ, and placed in the scale. And here this is a reference to the affairs of Yawm al-Qiyamah, meaning that in this life, this clash, this battle and this differing, it's going to continue. And it's going to go on all the way until the people of falsehood will have clarity in their vision. The ghita, the covering, the thing that was preventing them from seeing matters shall be removed, and they will see clearly the actions of the servants upon the scale. On that day, Allah Ta'ala has mentioned the clarity of vision that people shall have on that day in Surah Qaf, in what is alluded to by the author of the poem here, where Allah Ta'ala says, لَقَدْ كُنْتَ فِي غَفْلَةٍ مِّنْ هَذَا. You, meaning mankind, or you, this believer, you have been heedless. You have been totally unaware about this, meaning this reality, the reality of the Day of Judgment. And then Allah Ta'ala says, فَكَشَفْنَا عَنْكَ غِطَاءَكَ. So we have removed your covering. فَبَصَرُكَ الْيَوْمَ حَدِيدٌ. And your eyesight on this day is hadid. Hadid has two possible explanations, as some of the Salaf held. Hadid meaning sharp and precise, that you clearly see everything for what it is. And they said that's نَظَرُكْ إِلَى لِسَانَ الْمِيزَانِ. That's when you look to the scale and you see the reading of the scale with all clarity. حِينَ تُوزَنُ حَسَنَاتُكَ وَسَيِّئَاتُكَ. When your good and bad is upon the scale being weighed. Others said al-hadid is the actual lisan of the mizan. The scale has a precise instrument in the middle that is moved from left to right, if you know about old-fashioned scales. Like perhaps similar to that scale that you stand on in the doctor's office to be weighed. It has a lisan, that thing that you move back and forth to make the measurement exactly precise down to the exact kilogram or down to the exact, you know, small amount of measurement. That's called the lisan, that instrument that moves left to right to determine exactly what is the precise balance. That's called the lisan of the mizan. That's called technically the tongue of the scale. The tongue, that which speaks on behalf of the scale or gives you what the scale is actually saying. They call it in Arabic the lisan. It's been reported from Mujahid and Al-Dahhak, the early imams of the Tabi'een and Tafsir, that the hadid, that your basar is, your eyesight is hadid on that day. Your eyesight on that day, it is that instrument that tells you the correct measure, the exact measurement of good deeds and bad deeds. Meaning your eyesight is focused only on that day, with all clarity. Ibn al-Qayyim says, حَتَّى إِذَاً كَشَفَ الْغِطَاءُ. This goes on until the covering is removed. وَحُصِّلَتْ أَعْمَالُ هَذَا الْخَلْقِ فِي الْمِيزَانِ. And all of the actions of this entire creation are brought and placed on the scale. Then he says, وَإِذَا انْجَلَى هَذَا الْغُبَارُ وَصَارَ مَيْدَانُ السِّبَاقِ تَنَالُهُ الْعَيْنَانِ. وَإِذَا انْجَلَى هَذَا الْغُبَارُ. When this, the dust settles, when the dust is gone and vision can be clear, meaning on the Day of Judgment. وَصَارَ مَيْدَانُ السِّبَاقِ. The area of competition is what? Clearly seen by eyesight. تَنَالُهُ الْعَيْنَانِ. This is a reference to the battlefield where horses and armies clash at the time of confrontation in the desert where the sand is kicked up, the dust rises, and you would not be able to have a high level of visibility. You would only see a few feet in front of you because of the dust being there. So the Imam Ibn al-Qayyim draws this similitude, the battle between the truth and falsehood. For those people, for the people of deviation, their eyesight is clouded. Their eyesight is covered. They can't see the reality of all affairs. They can only see very close. the ghubar, the dust that has covered them, is now removed, and the battlefield can be seen clearly by eyes. Then he says,
وَبَدَتْ عَلَىٰ تِلْكَ الْوُجُوهِ سِمَاتُهَا وَاسْمَ الْمَلِيكِ الْقَادِرِ الدَّيَّانِ.
And then the markings upon such faces will appear. Some faces on that day will be gleaming and bright, and some faces on that day will be darkened and gloomy. We ask Allah Ta'ala for salvation.
وَاسْمَ الْمَلِيكِ الْقَادِرِ الدَّيَّانِ.
The markings, the coloration that is placed there by Al-Malik, the king, the Qadir, the all-capable, Al-Dayyani, the one who brings people to their account. Sheikh Saleh ibn Fawzan, Al-Fawzan, says about this verse, he says, كَمَا قَالَ تَعَالَى, just as Allah the Most High has said,
يَوْمَ تَبْيَضُّ وُجُوهٌ وَتَسْوَدُّ وُجُوهٌ,
the day when some faces will be brightened, gleaming, وتسود وجوه, and some faces will be darkened.
فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ اسْوَدَّتْ وُجُوهُهُمْ,
as for those who have had their faces darkened,
أَكَفَرْتُمْ بَعْدَ إِيمَانِكُمْ,
have you disbelieved after having iman? Have you disbelieved after your iman? And that's a rhetorical question. Meaning, yes, you have. This is because you have disbelieved after your iman.
فَذُوقُوا الْعَذَابَ,
so now taste the punishment. بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْفُرُونَ, because of how you used to disbelieve. Then Allah says,
وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ بِيَضَّتْ وُجُوهُهُمْ,
and as for those who have had their faces made gleaming and bright,
فَفِي رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ,
they are under the mercy of Allah.
هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ,
they reside therein, meaning in the mercy of Allah, in the paradise, in the gardens of mercy of Allah, they abide therein forever. Those are the 106th and 107th verses of Surah Ali Imran.
وَهَذِهِ نَتِيجَةُ أَعْمَالِ الْعِبَادِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ,
these are the results of the actions of the servants on the Day of Judgment. قَالَ بَعْضُ السَّلَفْ, some of the early righteous predecessors said,
تَسْوَدُّ وُجُوهُ أَهْلِ الْفُرْقَةِ وَالْإِبْتِدَاعِ,
the faces of the people of division and innovation shall be darkened, made gloomy.
وَتَبْيَضُ وُجُوهُ أَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ وَالْإِتِّبَاعِ,
and the faces of the people of the sunnah and following the deen properly, تَبْيَضُ, these faces will be brightened and gleaming. So we see here as commentary, from the verse directly, Allah Ta'ala mentions that the people who will have their faces darkened and gloomy on that day, they are the people of kufr.
أَكَفَرْتُمْ بَعْدَ إِيمَانِكُمْ,
they have disbelieved after having iman, they are apostates. And the reference, بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْفُرُونَ, because of your disbelief. And a number of the companions and tabi'un said, these are the people of bid'ah. Is this a different tafsir? Or is it the same tafsir? It's in actuality the same tafsir, or in line with the wording of the verse. The people of innovation, who have gone so severely deviant into their innovation that they have left the fold of Al-Islam. The likes of the Mu'tazila, the Qadariya, they deny one of the pillars of Al-Iman. They are Ahlul Bid'ah, and they are disbelievers. They ascribe to this Ummah. They claim to be Muslims, but their innovation has taken them out of the fold of Al-Islam. The Mu'tazila claim to adhere to Al-Islam, and they claim to be Muslims, but they are Ahlul Bid'ah. They are people of innovation, and their innovation is so severe that it has taken them outside of Al-Islam, and they are kuffar, they are disbelievers. They are apostates from the religion of Al-Islam. And not every person who falls into every innovation apostates and leaves Al-Islam. However, there is no innovation except it is misguidance. And that misguidance does not increase and grow until a person leaves the religion of Al-Islam and lands into the fire. So there is no good in innovation, even if that innovation specifically doesn't nullify a person's Islam. It is only a slippery slope towards other more severe innovations of its kind that would actually nullify a person's Islam. And may Allah Ta'ala make us from those whose faces are gleaming on that day. And may He save us from the company of those whose faces will be gloomy and darkened on that day. May He save us from their company in this life and the next. Going back to the poetry, مُبْيَلَّةً مِثْلَ الرِّيَاضِ بِجَنَّةٍ وَالسُّودُ مِثْلَ الْفَحْمِ لِلْنِيرَانِ. Faces are made bright, مِثْلَ الرِّيَاضِ بِجَنَّةٍ, like the likes of gardens in paradise. وَالسُّودُ, and the darkness, مِثْلَ الْفَحْمِ لِلْنِيرَانِ, the likes of the coal, black coals, لِلْنِيرَانِ, for fire. فَهُنَاكَ يَعْلَمُ رَاكِبٌ مَا تَحْتَهُ وَهُنَاكَ يُقْرَعُ نَاجِذُ النَّدْمَانِ. There, هُنَاكَ, meaning يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, once the vision is clear, and on that day when the accounts are settled and the truth is manifest to every person, يَعْلَمُ رَاكِبٌ, a rider, a person here. And remember, we're going with that similitude of people on horseback making a physical journey. The rider will know what was under him, what land he was upon, and what kind of beast he was riding upon. Meaning there are people who don't even know these matters now. They are proceeding, but they don't know what's under them. They don't know what path they're upon. وَهُنَاكَ, and there as well, at that time, at that stage, يُقْرَعُ نَاجِذُ النَّدْمَانِ, the people will strike or knock the tooth of remorse. And that is an Arabic expression, which means they will show true regret and remorse for what has proceeded from them. They say a person knocks on the tooth, which is a back tooth, a molar, of nedmani, of regret. Like they strike their cheeks in regret for what they have done. So it's that day when a person will show true regret. وَهُنَاكَ تَعْلَمُ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَا الَّذِي مَعَهَا مِنَ الْأَرْبَاحِ وَالْخُسْرَانِ. And there, at that place and at that time, every soul will know مَا الَّذِي مَعَهَا, what it has with it, مِنَ الْأَرْبَاحِ, of profit, وَالْخُسْرَانِ, and loss. The day of true profit and loss, the day of true account, and the wazan and the scale on that day is al-haq. It is not dollars, pounds, rials. It is not currency, money. Rather, the wealth on that day will be deeds, statements and actions, stances, positions, support, love and hatred for the sake of Allah. These matters will be the wealth on that day. May Allah Ta'ala make us from those who have a heavy amount of what Allah Ta'ala loves on that day, and nothing of what He hates. Allahumma ameen. وَهُنَاكَ يَعْلَمُ مُؤْثِرُ الْآرَاءِ وَالشَّطَحَاتِ وَالْهَذَيَانِ وَالْبُطْلَانِ. And there, at that time, and that place, the person who preferred opinions, and شَطَحَات, and هَذَيَان, and بُطْلَان, and babbling, philosophy and falsehood, the one who preferred all of that, he will know. He will know. What will he know? أَيَّ الْبَضَائِعِ قَدْ أَضَاعَ وَمَا الَّذِي مِنْهَا تَأَوَّلَ فِي الزَّمَانِ الْفَانِي. He will know which of his wares, which of his goods have been lost and which have been turned over regarding the previous time, meaning in his life that has passed him up now. سبحان رب الخلق قاسم فضله والعدل بين الناس بالميزان. Exalted be the Lord, creator and sustainer of the entire creation. the Qasim, the one who distributes his bounties, wal adli, and justice between the people, bil mizani, upon a precise scale. Our Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah, he says here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yahdi man yasha'u. Allah, the glorified and most high, guides whomever he chooses, tafaddulan minhu, as a bounty from himself to them, lilhaqi wal'ilmin nafi'. He guides them to the truth and to beneficial knowledge. وَيُضِلُّ مَنْ يَشَاءُ عَدْلًا مِنْهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. And he misleads, he misguides whomever he chooses out of justice from him. For that person, he is the glorified and most high. Meaning those whom Allah Ta'ala leads astray, it is due to the filth of their actions, their beliefs, their showing off, their hypocrisy, their disobedience, their disbelief, their ingratitude, what they deserve based on what they have come with. As Allah Ta'ala has said about Bani Israel, فَلَمَّا زَاغُوا أَزَاغَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ. And when they deviated, meaning in their actions with disobedience and ingratitude, then we caused their hearts to deviate. May Allah Ta'ala protect our hearts. The poem goes on, لَوْ شَاءَ كَانَ النَّاسُ شَيْئًا وَاحِدًا مَا فِيهِمُ مِنْ تَائِهٍ حَيَرَانِ. Had it been the will of Allah, the people would all be one thing, meaning they would all be united, without having anyone wandering about in confusion. Our Shaykh says here, اِقْتَضَتْ حِكْمَتُهُ سُبْحَانَهُ. His wisdom, and he is the glorified one, his wisdom has necessitated أن يفرق بين أهل الضلال وأهل الحق, that there shall be a division between the people of misguidance and the people of the truth. من باب الامتحان, so as to be tested, so as to be put to trial, to be put to mihna, to be put into a trial to see how the deeds are, to see how the responses are, to see how the stances are. والابتلاء, and to be put to a bala, a trial, trial and tribulation. وَلِأَجْلِ أَنْ يَتَمَيَّزَ الْمُؤْمِنُ مِنَ الْكَافِرِ. And this is in order for the believer to become distinct from the disbeliever. وَالصَّادِقُ مِنَ الْكَاذِبِ. And for an honest person to be clearly known from a liar. فَيَتَمَيَّزُ هَذَا مِنْ هَذَا. So these people will become distinct, clearly identifiable, in contrast to those people. فَهَذِهِ حِكْمَةُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. So this is a point of wisdom from Allah the Most High. لِأَنَّهُ لَوْلَا الْإِبْتِلَاءُ وَالْإِمْتِحَانُ. Had it not been for this trying and testing of the people, لَمَا تَمَيَّزَ الْخَبِيثُ مِنَ الطَّيِّبِ. Then the filthy ones would not have any distinction from the pure and wholesome ones. He said, لكنه سبحانه يختص بالفضل العظيم خلاصة الإنسان. However, he, the most glorified one, has given his great bounties, خلاصة الإنسان, to the very finest and purest of mankind. That is the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his likes from the messengers and prophets. So Allah gives them exclusively His great bounty. And this verse also indicates that the great bounty given to the prophets is shared by the believers who follow them. And that is intended in the verse. وَسِوَاهُمُ لَا يَصْلُحُونَ لِصَالِحٍ كَالشَّوْكِ فَهُوَ عِمَارَةٌ نِيرَانِ. And other than them, meaning other than those whom Allah has given His favor to, His great bounty too, لا يصلحون لصالح. They can't do anything right. They can't do anything good. They can't make any good contributions to anything. كشوكي, like a thorn. فهو عمارة النيران. He is just the resident of the fire. وعمارة الجنة هم أهل الهدى. الله أكبر ليس يستويان. And the dwellers of paradise, the Jannat, the gardens, hum ahlul huda, they are the people of guidance. Allahu akbaru, Allah is the greatest, greater than everything. Laysa yastawiyani, the two are not equal. Who are the two? Imaratul jannati wa imaratul nirani, the residents of paradise, gardens of paradise, and the residents of the fire. They are not equal. They were not equal in this life with their actions, with their submission, with their inclinations, with their whims and how they handled them, with their guidance. They were not equal with their stances and with what they decided to confront and how they confronted it, with their love and their hatred, with their allegiance and their animosity. They were not equal. And therefore, in the hereafter, they are not equal either in terms of recompense. As the people of submission, servitude, guidance, the people of humility, the people of ittiba, following, the people of wala and bara, true allegiance, true religious loyalty to the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his teachings, his guidance, his aqidah, his companions, these people deserve from Allahu Ta'ala his pleasure, and Allahu Ta'ala loves them, and Allah extends upon them his mercy and his pleasure and enters them into paradise. May Allahu Ta'ala make us from them. The people of opposition, the people of arrogance, the people of stubbornness, the people who preferred human intellect, rationale, and philosophy over divine revelation, over texts of the Quran and the Sunnah, over clear guidance, then they deserve rebuke. They deserve punishment. They deserve hellfire. And Allahu Ta'ala will disgrace them on the Day of Judgment, darken their faces, and enter them into the hellfire. We ask Allahu Ta'ala for refuge with him on that day and safety with him. We ask Allahu Ta'ala for his mercy and his compassion on that day. We beg him and beseech him for that. And we ask Allahu Ta'ala to grant us success in attaining the statements and actions that lead us to what we request. And this is what Allahu Ta'ala has made easy for us to come together to discuss in this fourth session in our study of these 57 lines of poetry. And that leaves us with one session remaining for the last, 10 lines or so? 11 or 12 lines? 11 lines, I believe, left in our poem that we will study in our fifth and final session, insha'Allahu ta'ala. If there is a need for a correction of a mistake that I've made, or a question or comment on the topic that will aid us in our understanding of the topics we've taken today, then we will hear it at this time, insha'Allahu ta'ala. How are we able to identify the followers of the truth versus the followers of misguidance in order to hope that we are upon the correct path and to maintain that path? And the answer is through knowledge of the revelation of the Book of Allah. One understands what is required from him. Al-ilmu qabla al-qawli wal-amal. He learns before he speaks and before he acts. He doesn't have a stance that he's dedicated to, and he knows of no evidence for it. He doesn't have a position that he is sticking to, that he is relentlessly holding to, except that it is founded in the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And it corresponds with the way the companions understood it and the way they also relentlessly held to it. When he finds something from the book and the sunnah and the companions held to it and confronted anyone that opposed it, then he does likewise, doesn't turn sideways. And this is the path of Ahlul Haqq. This is the path of the people of the truth. The people of desires, they reevaluate everything. They say, well, rationally, I don't understand how this could be the case. I don't understand such and such matter. And therefore, since I don't understand it, then I'm going to withhold from accepting it, or I'm going to disown it and distance myself from it. As the people of Ta'til have said, I do not understand how Allah can have a face. If Allah has said that he is unlike the creation, then I will stick to that He is unlike the creation, and therefore he cannot have a face at all, because the creation has faces. Those beings within the creation, since they have faces, then I declare Allah free of a face. He cannot have a face, because having a face means that he resembles his creation. This is how they stick to some of the texts, but not others. Allah Ta'ala has affirmed for himself a face. There is no need for you to evaluate whether it is correct or not. There is no interaction here as a Muslim with this report that is many times mentioned in the Quran and from the speech of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you find mention of the face of Allah Ta'ala in many reports. Our test in this life does not include deciding whether that is correct or not. Our test in this life is affirming that and opposing those who would deny it. Affirming the face of Allah Ta'ala and adding that the face of Allah does not resemble the face of any of his created beings. And with this, we have the harmony of the correct aqidah, all of the texts together. Allah Ta'ala has negated resemblance, that he does not resemble anything within his creation. And Allah Ta'ala has affirmed for himself attributes like a face. So we affirm the attribute and we negate any resemblance between that attribute and the attributes of his creation. Very simple. And we are aligned with, we have loyalty with, and we have brotherhood with everyone who has arrived at this reality and holds this position. And we oppose, disown, and disalign ourselves with anyone who opposes this, either by explaining the face as majesty and saying there is no real face, but rather it is an allegorical reference to majesty and greatness. We say Allah Ta'ala has informed us that he is the possessor, he is Dhul Jalali, he's the possessor of majesty, and that he is Al-Azim, that he is the great one, the one with Azama, the one of greatness. And Allah Ta'ala has informed us that he has a face. So simply affirm that your Lord has a face, and do not ask how, do not seek after the details of that face. Do not affirm it in a way that resembles the faces of the creation. Affirm its uniqueness and perfection as the face of Allah, the majestic Lord and creator of the creation. And do not negate it and do not explain it away. These are your foundations in your beliefs as it relates to the attributes of Allah. I mentioned this one example, and there could be examples in aqidah and methodology that would go on for hours as distinguishing signs between the people of the truth and the people of falsehood. I mentioned this one example to this level of detail because it is, insha'Allah ta'ala, in line with the poetry that we're studying and the goal behind these lines. The goal of the author of the poetry was a refutation of the people of ta'til, the people who would make the mistake of negating attributes, denying them and rejecting them. So we say one way to distinguish between the people who are upon the correct path and the people who are upon deviation is their affirmation of the attributes of Allah Ta'ala. And there are many other distinguishing factors. It is, in essence, everything about the correct aqidah is a sign of Ahlul Haqq that he holds to and he sticks to the aqidah that has come from the righteous early salaf, their beliefs and their practice, from the companions and their students. Every point that they refuse to take part in religious argumentation, that they shun the people of innovation wherever they are, that they fight against the Khawarij, the likes of today, ISIS, Daesh, Boko Haram, Al-Shabaab, Al-Qaeda, pronounced Al-Qaeda in the West. They fight against them physically, and they fight against them in da'wah and in warnings and refutations. This is a sign of someone being from the people of the truth. They reject the Qadariyah, they reject the Murji'ah. They say that Iman increases and decreases, and Qadr, the Qadr of Allah, is truth, and that nothing happens except from the wisdom and the qadr of Allah Ta'ala. They say actions, good actions that Allah loves, increases one's iman, and disobedience decreases one's iman, and they refute, warn against, and hate those who say iman is one stable level, it does not increase or decrease, because of their opposition of the verses of the Book of Allah and the statements of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the belief system held by consensus by the companions and their students, the righteous early Salaf. So at each and every case, he finds that if his belief, his methodology, and his practice of al-Islam is in line with the companions, then he is upon the truth. And if his belief, practice, and or methodology is in opposition to what the companions were upon, then he is from Ahlul Dalal, he's from the people of innovation. May Allah Ta'ala increase us in guidance. And Allah Ta'ala knows best.